to ask Brother Jerome to do a car wash for my debt reduction at home. Did you just miss classes? Oh, the classes can be dismissed. It's good to see people starting to come back from traveling. I know it's not over yet, but it's always good to see you in the house of the Lord. Amen. As far as I'm concerned, every day is a great day to serve the Lord. And I thank God for the opportunity. Thank Him where He's brought me from, what He's done in my own life, in my own family. If you're just beginning, you have not yet begun to see what God has in store. Sometimes our outlook is a little skewed, and that's kind of what I would like to preach to you today. But God is always faithful. Always, always, always faithful. I want to preach to you. Do you have my title screen ready? I want to preach to you on a very unique topic today. Titled this, you can put it up, It's All You. That actually is not my title. I wanted to give Brother Chris a chuckle. Brother Chris Schaubert, that Chris. We were at a golf tournament yesterday. We decided to go and support a cause. And here I was, already having a bad game. And I get up there, I get in line, I got my club ready. I'm lining up. I'm just on the verge of my backswing. And I hear Brother Chris say to Tim, "Brother Tim, it's all you." And I said, "Thank you for that encouragement as I'm getting ready to hit the ball." So it wasn't all me on that hole, or probably the whole game. But I am a forgiving person. It's all you, Brother Tim. I should give the microphone to Brother Tim today. I'm glad somebody encourages me. No, I do have a topic for you. If you turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 17, don't forget to grab a cupcake. Brother Fred, have you decided? Oh, you're waiting on me to get back to you if you need help this week. Okay, I'm still waiting on a response. It's very possible on Tuesday we might be looking for an able-bodied man or two to drive to Sydney, Ohio with Brother Fred. He's kind enough to go pick up some fencing that we bought for this fence, for the pond is now dug in the back of the church, and also for the daycare in Conneaut. If they'll load it, he said he'll go, but if they won't load it, he'll need some help, Brother Fred. If you haven't heard, he is 79, and Brother Fred can still outwork most of the young men here. But I'd rather not him not have to. If we could, so are there any, if he needs that person on Tuesday, are there anybody that would just throw their hand in the air and say, you can count it probably early. It's an all day affair. Well, we'll let the Holy Ghost deal with you. I realize some of you already got fishing plans, but may it rain. Luke chapter 17, verse 12. Actually, let's start in verse 11. It came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him ten men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priest." It came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. I would like to preach to you something the Lord put in my spirit on Friday, and that is more than a miracle. And who's praying? Go ahead and pray for us, please.
Gracious Father, we recognize your spirit is in this place this morning. And God, I ask that your people here that are willing to listen, Lord, God, just receive the word that is about to go forth. God, whether they're here or watching online, God, we ask that your spirit moves around in this place, Lord, like never before, falling on every heart and
oh,
every mind
hallelujah,
today, regardless
Jesus,
of what the
hallelujah,
week God
hallelujah,
held for us
hallelujah,
last week. God, your people
Jesus,
have shown up here today and tuned in to receive the word of God today. Lord, we pray over Pastor as he delivers it. God, that your perfect divine
Jesus.
Will is what takes place here today.
Hallelujah,
God, that every word that is spoken
Jesus,
from his mouth, Lord, comes directly
hallelujah.
From you, Jesus. God, may your spirit
glory,
just
flow in this place, glory,
glory, through every
glory. Let your
today,
presence,
God.
O
God,
God hover
in
this place.
In this place today.
Father,
hallelujah,
we need
Jesus.
You, Jesus, this
God,
morning.
We
hallelujah.
We want to receive your word, and that's hallelujah. Exactly what we want to do hallelujah. Today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. If you ever wonder why we get so loud, it's because it's not football. It's much better. Leprosy was a feared and isolating disease. Those who were afflicted were banished to live outside of the community. And whenever they were close or in close proximity to somebody else, they had to shout, unclean, unclean, so nobody were to come near them. You can reference that if you want to in Leviticus chapter 13, verse 45 and 6. In this text, despite this law, when Jesus came through, they ignored protocol and they just called out unto him. They didn't call out unclean, unclean. They even made their way towards him. The area that Jesus was traveling in, according to the scripture, was between Samaria and Galilee. It was the border area between Jewish territory and Samaritan territory. If you don't know anything about the Samaritans, they were like the third class on the Titanic. They were considered lower than everybody, outcasts. They did not commingle with the Jews. There was no friendship or budding up together, and so. The statement, first of all, was very clear that there were no boundaries in God's kingdom. They were not only separated by leprosy, but they were also separated by status in life. And unfortunately, some of those things really haven't changed in our world. We would love to pretend that we have far come beyond the days of the Titanic when they were locked in the downstairs of that ship as it began to sink and gates were locked until all of the first class passengers were out. But we've not come past that at all. We've actually probably gotten worse. And there are those sometimes in society, it's not always a matter of wealth or prestige, but they're looked at differently. If you can see Taylor Swift and call her ma'am, but call your pastor's wife, hey, you, that means we've got problems. Jesus heals all 10. He tells them to go and show themselves to the priest, which was the law. They would have to go to the priest and show them, I'm clean, before they could be reintegrated into society. So the relevance is they all 10 left that scene. We don't really see that in that short text, but they left the scene and they went and they showed themselves to the priest, but one returned. And when he returned, the Bible says that he fell and he worshiped the Lord. And the Lord said, were there not 10 How come only one of you has returned to worship the Lord? And incidentally, that one was a Samaritan. Now that tells me it's very possible all of the lepers were of maybe of different statuses in life. They weren't all Samaritans. So on that note, I want to tell you a story. You got my first picture if you would push it, if you'd put it up. This is a story that you may be familiar with. This is Jordan Turpin. Speaking to Diane Sawyer in 2022, I believe it was, after her escape, she said, "I had no idea what direction to go." She was 17 years old, had the education of a 11-year-old. 13, I think it was, siblings, maybe 11 or 12, somewhere in there. She said she was trying to dial 911 and couldn't even get her thumbs to press the buttons because she was shaking so bad. For years, these children were rarely allowed to leave their home. First Texas, then in California. They ate one meal a day, usually peanut butter sandwiches, bologna or frozen burrito, and chips. While, according to the children, their parents taunted them with food. One of the 11-year-old children was so malnourished that her arm circumference was the equivalence of a 4-year-old. On January 14, 2018, Jordan realized that time was running out when she heard her mother say that the family was going to be moving to Oklahoma. If we went to Oklahoma, she said, there was a big chance some of us would have died. The very next day, we were moving, and it was literally now or never. The deputy that showed up at that call, Anthony Colas, was coming to the end of a long and busy graveyard shift when he took the call because it was just a runaway, and he said those calls normally end with you take him home, you reintegrate him, and he goes home and goes to sleep. If you've never seen the video is very hard to watch. He asked her, he initially thought she was on some type of drugs, and he asked her if she was on medication. She says, "What's medication?" And he explained it a couple times before she said no. And then she had an old iPhone from her parents that she had taken. It was obsolete, but the camera still worked, and she'd taken pictures of two of her siblings that were chained up in the house. And when she showed him the pictures, it was the defining moment for him. Fast forward, this is her 4 years later. A February 7th, 2023 news report states, House of Horrors survivor Jordan Turpin is still struggling to adjust to normal life 5 years after her escape from captivity. Now, if you were to go back, and if you were intimately familiar with this family and you knew the conditions they were in, but yet you were too afraid to do something about it, to call somebody, you might be one of those people that would go home and you would pray and you'd say, "God, those kids need a miracle. They need a miracle." You may even be able to identify with certain aspects of your own life. You have a loved one who's in the hospital, and the doctor says to you, they need a miracle. You may have even come across situations in your own life. Maybe it may not sound as extreme. Satan has caused us to believe that the old family structure is irrelevant and doesn't really matter. But a stable home is the most important thing in the world to any child. And so your marriage might be on the rocks, might be in shambles. And you may have went to bed last night and prayed and said, "God, We need a miracle. It's understandable. It's true. It's true for this family. They needed a miracle. It was true for the 10 lepers that they needed a miracle. But we see two very similar things in this scripture story that we read and in the life of Jordan Turbin and her siblings. And that is, the lepers received their miracle, but one was still, I don't know, maybe desperate. Said, the disease has stopped. The prayer has been answered. But look at me. I'm a mess. The effects of what I have been through have ravaged my body. It's almost like drugs. God could take a person and he could take you at a moment and he could take the drugs out of your system. You never crave them again, but your body has still suffered. You could stop smoking tomorrow after 30 years. You come to the altar, pray, and say, God, and it's happened to people. Take this addiction to nicotine away, and God could do it at that moment. But your lungs still suffer. You could have been somebody. We had a family here years ago. I've told this story a few times. We had a lot of different families here with a lot of different backgrounds. And he told me when he was, I think 9 years old, his parents decided they didn't want him anymore, so they put him in the car, locked the doors, and set the car on fire. Try living with that, because he didn't die. And then they took him and put him in a group home. And he told me that they would stand him in the middle of the floor naked and beat him. And you wonder why. Some people don't know how to have a marriage. You wonder why so many people don't know how to function in life. Because there's so many stories out there. The problem is, to us, the miracle is the immediate danger ending. Our problem is that's the miracle. That's the extent of what we look for. God, get those kids out of that home. But 5 years later, the writer writes, still struggling to adjust to normal life. So many people that have been through so much, been through things that are unspeakable, that are unknown to many others. My wife and I were talking. You probably have no doubt, if you're online at all, heard about the CEO and his, whatever she was in her, in his team of the company, as he was hugging her and had his arms around her, and the jumbo camera at the concert panned up, and then they just ducked and dived, and the singer in the concert, I'm sure you've seen it. Raise your hand if you've seen it. Okay, so half if you have. And the singer stops and he says, oh, they're either shy or they're having an affair. Well, he was married to another woman. And the fallout's been, but you know, we were talking about it. We say, you know, people are just so, so judgmental. I saw one news station had, of course, published the article, and the comments below just went on. And I don't interact much anymore, but I just decided he who's without sin cast the first stone. I said, all of you guys, sin in your life. No one's just publishing it. It wasn't caught on camera. And I say that because you never know. If you met, put her picture back up there. If you met this girl on the streets and you just talked to her and you never knew of her story, you might walk away and say, my God, girl's like 24 years old, can't even talk normal, talks like a child. What kind of parents did she have? Well, I'm glad you asked. You might wonder why people are so angry. Why people just snap at the drop of a hat in society. You might wonder why people isolate themselves. And I can't really do justice the way I would like to today and touch the tip of the iceberg, because if we were to all stand and tell the rest of the congregation things you never knew. I've shared this story again, but we always have new people, but we had a young girl who came for a long time. She was a lesbian. One day she says to me, I want to write you a letter. I want you to read it when you can. I said, okay. She wrote it. I read it. I cried. As she told me, when she was a young girl, her father would take her to parties, and there he'd pimp her out for money for her whole life. And I said, no wonder. No wonder you hate men. No wonder you've chosen the lifestyle. And then it just, but we've become so cynical in our world that we're ready just to cast battle axes at people at the first sight of them. And what we fail to realize is the brokenness that stands before us. And sometimes as a church, we become accustomed to praying prayers that are so superficial. I would say to you today, and you'd probably get upset at me, that if you had a deformed hand and you came up and prayed for a miracle for God to make your hand whole, I would say to you, it's okay, it's understandable, I pray the Lord does, but that's superficial. That's just because of what people can see. I read a story not long ago about a man that was blind his whole life. He had learned to adjust and adapt in such a maybe he had no hands. I'm sorry. And anyway, he said, I wouldn't change a thing. He said, I wouldn't change anything. Sometimes our prayers are superficial. The miracles that we ask for are things like, can I have more money? Can I have a better job? God, I'd love to go on this trip someday. I'd like to have a new car, God. God, help me win this lottery ticket. All the while, your marriage is in shambles. And your prayers is, let me win the lottery. All the while, your kids are a wreck. On drugs, on pills. Can't function without them because of things of this life. And we've just become addicted to praying superficial prayers. And the other picture, we'll just go ahead and put it up there since you got it. This is the police officer that showed up that night. And although she has a smile on her face, and I'm sure it was a warm reception, first time they were reunited since he found her on the street, the fact still remains, she was free and God did the miracle, but she was not made whole. Wholeness takes a whole lot more than what the world can offer. Why is it that we settle for superficial? And we take it no further than that. Why is it that we won't pray and ask God, God, go further in my life? God, you see the way my mind is. You know the struggles in my heart. You know how I fail to trust, and I can't trust anybody. That's not any way to go through life. You'll never have a successful marriage that way. You'll never have a healthy relationship that way. Why is it that we stop? Why are we part of the nine that leaves? Thank you, Lord. He stopped my leprosy. But we don't recognize that there's still so much more that we need. We need to be made whole. We need God to get inside our heads and get inside our hearts and get inside our lives. And we need God to do a transformation that nobody but you will really see. Because you know where you came from. And you know the things that you had to walk through in life. And you know the heartaches that you had to experience. But sometimes we become content with leaving those things bottled up, and they make us angry towards life. We lash out at the wrong people. We run people off that love us. But all the while we're content that, thank God, he just got me out of that situation. Bible says in Matthew chapter 9, I didn't give you my scriptures, I apologize, verse 43. I hope it's Matthew, I hope it's not Luke. Let me look real quick. It's Mark, I'm sorry. Mark 9, 43. Says, if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It's better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched. Where their worm dieth not, the fire is not, or I'll say never, quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. If thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Our world is so superficial that we get offended at God. We would rather have 2 eyes or 2 hands, because then we can dress ourselves up and make ourselves look whole. But deep out inside, we're not whole at all. Whether we recognize it, that's probably subjective. I could say that I probably didn't recognize a lot of my own stuff when I was younger. Maybe some people do. Maybe on a good day you go to bed at night and you just feel so empty and so lonely, and you just say, God, if you're real, if you could just do something in my life. See, the miracle is not getting me out of the situation. That's a miracle. Let me rephrase that. It's great for God to do a miracle and get you out of the situation. But I don't want to walk through life just being away from my situation. I don't want to walk through life carrying the weight that we carry into the house of God every service. I don't want to walk through life being broken inside. I don't want to walk through life being suspicious of everything and everybody. I don't want to walk through life feeling I can never trust anybody because of the things that happened in my life. No. If I got to walk through this life, I want to be made whole. If I got to walk through this life, I want God to do things inside of my mind that nobody else but me will ever see. And they may never recognize it. They may never identify it, but I do. And I know who I was. And I know where I came from. And I know what God has done in my life. And I can stand here before you today and I can say those very things. I know who I was and I know where I came from. And I know the miracles that God has done in my own mind. I know the suicide attempts that he kept me from as a child. I know. I still remember walking into the bathroom and pouring the pills down my throat. Nobody else will know unless I say it, but I know. And even though that attempt failed, God had a bigger plan. But even after God had changed all of the circumstances in the situation and life went on, I realized, my God, there's still so much wrong in me. Yeah, I'm out of it. Yeah, I'm in church now, and I didn't really know what that mean or meant eventually. But I knew I loved being in the presence of God, and I knew that I loved worshiping the Lord, and I loved what God was doing in my life. But I began to quickly realize there's so much more that's left from that situation, and I need God to intervene. Again, forgive me if you've heard these things, but I remember still so vividly the day my wife was in the doctor's office and they said it's a boy. And I went outside and I cried in the car. I said, God, I don't know if I can even love him. I don't know how to love him. And I remember as they got older and more came, I remember praying right over there in the sanctuary. I said, God, you got to teach me how to be a husband and a father. I don't know how to be a father. I don't know the first thing to do. Oh, I can have a kid, and I can be a tyrant too. I can be just as authoritarian as I learned. But God, you got to teach me. I need you to help me. Life just doesn't happen. I get afraid for people that pop out babies and don't know how to be parents. I'm fearful of it because that's what just keeps the dysfunction going in our life. In our society. But it takes a big man. And I'm not talking about myself. It takes a big man to go before the Lord and say, God, you've done great things in my life. But I realize there's damage done to me that I never saw before. I know you've changed my circumstance, and now I'm my own man, and I'm married. And for some of you here today, I'm going to be a father. But do you know how to be a father? What was your example of fatherhood? Do you know how to be whole? Do you know how to be a husband? I'm getting married. Great. Do you know how to be a husband? And the list goes on. And so that one man returned. He returned, and I don't know what he felt. I don't know what he was thinking. I don't know what was going on in his mind. I don't know if he was just desperate for more. I don't know. All I know is he went back, and the Bible says he just began to worship the Lord. Didn't even ask for anything. It would seem to me, scripturally, that worship does things that we couldn't even imagine. Now I know why some people stand there. This is not an insult, because you don't even realize it. I know why some people stand there. Where's Kristen at? That one, not the other four that are here. I remember when she started coming, and I'm coming to a slow close, but she sat right over there, probably about where Tanya was. And I'll never forget it. You know, you watch things when you're preaching, and she would just stand there like this during service. And then after, I don't know, probably maybe a couple months, I remember she went from this to this. And then as more months passed, she went from this to this. Now, sometimes if you want to look around and don't want to worship yourself, that was cruel, I'm sorry. No, it was real. It's okay. She'd be like this. Why? Because Satan knows if he can keep you from worshiping, you'll never be made whole. He knows that if he can keep you bound, you'll never be set free. God might do a little miracle here or there, and because we're superficial, we're content. But it takes somebody who says, if I really know what I know, and I believe what I believe, and I believe that he is the God that has always been and always will be, and he was from the beginning of time, and he began to speak and put this world into shape and into existence. If I believe that, then I know that he can do more inside of me. And I'm not just going to stop where I'm at right now. But it takes somebody that says,
that's willing to turn around and say, hey, that was a great service, but I'll be back at 9 p.m. for prayer on Friday night because I need you to do more in my life, because I need to be made whole. I need to be healed. I need my mind fixed. I need my heart fixed. And there is nobody in this life that can do that except Jesus Christ. I'm witness, as many others that are here today are as well. And so the scripture that I read to you, it's talking about sin, but the point is very broad in its application. Today, in my opinion, the point, though, is still very clear. And that is, for us, the miracle is the restoration of limbs and eyes and feet and whatever. But in the kingdom, you can go to heaven with all that stuff. You can go to heaven blind. You can go to heaven with one hand. You can go to heaven with a deformity in your body. You can go to heaven with disease ravaging your body. You can still go to heaven. But sometimes our only focus is on God fixing the immediate need and not the long-term need. We need people to be healed from the inside out first. Why? Because our goal is not to give them a new limb or a new eye, even though I thank God for those things that He does, but our goal is to get them into heaven. Our goal is to get them into life everlasting. Our goal is to get them into eternity, and that's the Lord's goal as well. That's why He said, you can go to heaven maimed, or you can go to hell whole. Meaning all of your body, all of your limbs, all of those things. But the fire is not quenched. And so I heard it said a couple weeks ago, can you come play for me, honey? That's not what I heard said. I heard it said that sometimes we lose sight of our only purpose. Our only purpose, and I don't want to burst your bubble, our only purpose is to get to heaven. And sometimes we get mad at God because He hasn't done the miracle that I've asked for, when really we need to say, God, if you do anything, just make me whole. I'll be okay with some other things. I'll be okay dealing with some ailments and deformities. My back still hurts many days, as I'm sure many of yours does as well. But listen, you can still go to heaven that way. If God never touches one thing in your body, don't you get offended at Him, as long as He's touched your mind, as long as He has fixed your heart, as long as He has prepared you for where He's taking you. Listen, you can go to heaven. You can go to heaven with ailments, and you can go to heaven maimed. The important thing is, are you going to heaven? That's what's important. That's what matters. That's all that matters. And that's why wholeness matters so much. Because as God, listen, there are Christians that get offended at God for many different reasons. Because Satan, he causes them to look at the miracle that God didn't do, rather than the miracles inside of our hearts and our minds that He did do. The Lord spoke something to me recently that He's never said to me before. Maybe He's shared this with you. But He said this. He said, if my hour has come or had come, why wouldn't everybody else's? But we leave this life, or we lose loved ones and we get upset at God because He didn't do the miracle. Because He didn't heal them or bring them back. And God does that, but at some point, He doesn't, because God is more interested in getting us into eternity. And so we have to have a right mind. Our heart has to be right more than our hand. Our mind has to be right more than my back. What he does inside of me is more important than what he, and I'm talking about, I'm not talking about the physical, but what he does is more important than him answering a prayer of healing me of this ailment or that. I'm just kind of convinced that sometimes God is saying to us, if you get your perspective right, I'll do the things that you've been asking for, but I'll do much more than that. You see, Solomon's perspective was right. Solomon said, God, Lord said, what would you like me to do? Now, I can assure you, I'm not talking about PCC, but there's probably a few of you here too, you lottery players, you know who you are. Now I'm being serious too. You'd say, oh God, just give me a couple $1 million and everybody's always going to build the next church when they get a couple $1 million. It's like they think we can dupe God. How about, forget the millions, God, would you heal my heart? Because I'm a hateful person and I don't want to be a hateful person. God, I'm miserable. I'm lonely. I feel like I don't know how to love anybody. Forget the millions. God said, Solomon, what would you have me to do? And he said, just give me wisdom, God. Just give me wisdom to lead these so great a people. That's all I want. I don't need anything else. And God said, because you've asked that and you haven't asked for anything for yourself. He said, I'll give you wisdom. But I'm also going to give you wealth. And I'm going to give you fame. And I'm going to give you a name. Because he wasn't focused on those things. Our focus sometimes is so wrong. It's so off. It's so worldly. It's so carnal. Hector, I know you've prayed and believed for your eyesight. But let me remind you today that if God never does it, when you get into heaven, you'll have a brand new set of eyes and a brand new body that's not subject to decay, not subject to disease. As long as you're in heaven, that's all that matters. That's the only thing that really matters. And guess what? You might not be heaven bound today if you had your eyes. Your outlook on life might have been different. So many people, I remember years ago reading a story, this lady was about 400 or 500 pounds. She was miserable. She had the gastric bypass surgery and they did all this stuff and they paid for it. And she got way down there, I don't know, 160, 70, 80 pounds, something like that. And before it was all said and done, she was in the bars partying, became a drug addict and wrecked her life. Why? Because her focus was just not right. And unfortunately, the world doesn't help that. The world, let's stop kidding ourselves and acting like sometimes we're a church that lives by faith and not by sight. Everything's about sight to this world. Everything is. We buy cars based off how they look, not what the reliability is. We buy clothes based off how they look. That's why some people can't afford anything else. They spend their money all on clothes because all it's about is looking the part. Never really feeling the part. Never really being the part. I would rather look like a hobo and know how to love my kids and know how to be a father. I'd rather make pennies if God would just teach me how to be a husband. Because I realize that I'm more the key to a healthy home than anybody else is. It's more important that we be made whole in this life so we can have a sound mind to serve God. You know why Paul never got upset at God? You know why the apostles died martyrs' deaths and they weren't on Facebook? I don't know if I believe in God. I remember three times is not a charm. I want y'all to know that. I have three boys. I love my boys more than my own next breath. I would gladly die today if it meant them getting into heaven. But I wanted a girl. That don't make me a bad person. And I remember I thought Kevin would be my girl. I remember the day we went in for that ultrasound. We're standing there and she's moving it around and I'm like, it's a boy. And she's, and the doctor said, oh, no, we don't know yet. Oh, so I know what I saw. It's exactly what I said. I'm sorry if I'm embarrassing you, son. We drove home that day. And we were in Austinburg Road on Route 45. I could tell you every place in this county God spoke to me. Every place. And I got it marked everywhere. Every spot in this sanctuary, I can tell you every single place. And we're on 45 right about in front of Andover Bank. And I was griping to my wife. Thank God she let me gripe. And I said, I don't know if I believe that scripture that God gives you the desires of your heart. Because all I wanted was a girl. And my wife gets, she gets a little sensitive on me when I tell these stories. See, she is right now. Because she thinks that I'm poo-pooing my boys. I wouldn't trade them in for the world. That is not the case here at all, folks. All the mothers are like, oh, yes, I agree with Sister Laura. Are you sure me saying that? And she hates being called Sister Laura, so I'm going to say it five more times. Sister Laura, Sister Laura, Sister Laura, Sister Laura, Sister Laura. Since she's calling me out. Can you play, honey? You men should not be clapping, just for the record. So anyway, so I was griping. As soon as I got done griping, as soon as I said that to her, the Lord said, I just want you to know that I'm still in control. As soon as God said that to me, boy, I tell you what, the Lord has a way of just bringing your attitude down. The miracle is not always what you want. Sometimes we're just looking for the miracle, which is what we want to see. But the greater miracle, sometimes what you never see. Now, I'm not going to lie. If I didn't have my boys, I couldn't keep up with my house anymore. I'm serious. You say, oh my, see, you're thinking like a mother. You got to think like Chris, think like a man. I need them. I need them to help me. I need them to pray for me. I need them to encourage me. I need them sometimes to keep me on my toes. I mean, just, I wouldn't trade them in for the world. The point is, sometimes our miracle is what we want. And that's why miracles are superficial. But God, 10 lepers, I'm finishing, wanted a miracle. And the Lord said, okay, I'll do it. They left. He made sure they could get reintegrated into society. But one came back because he said, if God can do this, there's a whole lot more in me that I have suffered because of this disease. And so there are people here today, you suffered because of the things you've experienced in life. You've suffered because of things that have happened to you. And you've continued to suffer for years because you've never asked God to make you whole. You've continued to suffer because you've only looked for God to fix you on the outside, to get you reintegrated into society where you don't look like a weirdo or look like an outcast, where you can look the part, you can talk better. That Jordan Turpin will be a lifetime of being fixed, her and her family, unless God does something in their life on the inside. Be a lifetime. Go watch the interviews. We need to be set free from the prisons of our life. We need to experience the fullness of God's joy. We need restoration of our mind, of our emotions, of our outlook in life. And the Lord is able. The question is, are we willing? That one man made the journey back. No clue how long it took. Could have been minutes. It could have been hours. Could have been days. I don't even know. doesn't really matter. This prayer coming up, superficial, would say, well, God can do whatever right here if he wants to. Tell Naaman that, the man who had leprosy, who the Lord said, go dip 7 times in the River Jordan. Very specifically, not any water, not any river, not just 6 times, not 4 times, not 10 times, but 7 times. Sometimes God is very specific. Why? Because he wants to see if we can be obedient. My wife and I were talking, and we do talk. And they're normally good conversations. And we were talking about, we're talking about like things like, you know, marijuana and all the natural stuff that you grow that's really not good for you, sugar. And she said, well, God put all this here. I said, I know. God put the tree in the garden too. But sometimes God puts things in our lives and then tells us don't touch. You know why? To teach us that we're not the authorities of our life, that God is. God wants to teach us to be servants, obedient to the Lord, to his word, even if you understand it. But when we do that, when we're willing to be obedient and to trust him, God can do so much more. So much more. Listen, if you're one of those people today, and in your mind, in your heart, under your breath, maybe you've even spoken it, I don't know, and you're like, I know I need some wholeness in me. I just want you to stand right where you're at. You don't have to come up front just now. Don't be bashful. Doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. I'm not God. I don't heal people. There is no preacher that heals people. You don't need to drive across the country to some faith healer's service. God is the healer. You know, I was reading this week, Brother Klein, and it kind of hit me. Never really read this before. When Paul had done some miracles, I can't remember exactly what it was, but the people saw it and they thought he was a god. You know what they begin to do? They brought money. Is there any reason why all these TV guys are wealthy? Are we looking at them as gods, or is God the God? God is able. God is your healer. God is your provider. God is the one that loves you so and I so much that before we were ever even in our mother's womb, he went to Calvary and he paid a price that nobody else would ever pay. And if you would just ponder that just for a moment, the price and the suffering that it cost him. Why? Because he is the one that loves us so much that he gave himself for us, and he is the one that can make you whole. And whatever else, I don't know when or how long it may happen instantaneously, it may happen over time. I can only tell you in my journey, God has, little by little, God has made me wholer and wholer and wholer until one day I look back at the old man, I think, who was that person? God will bring you so far from your former life that you don't even recognize who you were. That's how far God will bring you. And God will do miracles in your family and in your home if you will continue to trust him, to listen to him, to submit yourself to him and to his word. I would like somebody that just says, God, I want you to begin today. I need to be made whole. But when you do, listen, worship him. Just come up and just decide, I'm going to worship him. I don't know how to worship. Just lift your hands. Just say, God, I love you. I praise you. I thank you for everything that you did for me that I read in this book. I thank you, Lord, for Calvary. God, I've probably been selfish from time to time. I have probably used and abused, God, your grace and your mercy. But today, I want to lift you up. I want to bless you, God, in any way that I know how. There's no certain way. You won't offend God. God is not going to be upset at you if you just give him your very best. Give him what you've got today and let him bring wholeness into your life. I pray right now from this day forward, I feel the unction of the Lord and permission from heaven. God, that you're going to begin to do a work in these lives. Lord, that there's going to be something that begins to take place. Wholeness, God, inside of them. Wholeness, God. Wholeness, God. Let it begin. Let the seed be planted, God. Let it begin. Let the work of the Lord begin from the inside out. God, we don't care about visible things right now. Right now, we just need you to do something inside of me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Somebody give him praise. Somebody give him praise.
To worship you. To worship you.
Touch our hearts, touch our minds. Bring them back, God, where you took them from. Let them see what you've already done, and let them see, God, what you can still do. So much more, so much more, so much more. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. You are the Alpha and Somebody beside you, where two or more are gathered, grab somebody's hand, put your arm over the shoulder if it's appropriate. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
To worship you, I live to worship you.
Worship the Lord together right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
To worship you, I live. To worship you, I live. I live to worship you.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
To worship you, I live. To worship you, I live. Say that You're my God, and you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say,